I would like to welcome everybody and wish you all a happy new year. Father Jesus and HS, I'll give you their love, and I give you my peace. I spoke with Father last Sunday, and this is what he had to say. My very dear team, Triland, I wish you and your families a very blessed new year filled with many of my blessings. We start a new year. What does that mean? It means that all that has happened in the past is forgiven, and I have forgotten it. Why do I bring this up? Because some of you are still harboring feelings about the past, and you need to let them go. Please forgive each other and move forward. This is the last time I will mention this to the group. Now, what does the new year hold in store for us? How should I know? Ha ha, I am just kidding. It holds much change. Change in all of you, change in your families, change in the church, the members, and the leaders. For the past 2 weeks, Triland has seen the chief apostle and disc apostles in the center of his mind. What does that mean? It means that their spirits are investigating him. They are curious. Could he really be the second son of God? I have arranged this trial period for both of them. No, unfortunately, the Apostle Orlovsky still has no interest in my son. So we will concentrate on these two men. I am hopeful that they will reach out to my son in time, and yes, we have time. My son will ask you how things are now within your teams. You all now have new lead archangels. I am so happy that this part of my plan has been fulfilled. Did you see that my son paired you also perfectly with your new leads? The gifts I gave you pair very well with the virtues I bestowed upon the archangels. It is your advantage to share your life with them. They will keep you safe. They will rotate your protection team until they are secure with your final team. And then that team will serve alongside of you until Jesus comes and takes the bride. Yes, all part of my plan. My son will also share that the archangels are responsible for protecting your families as well. They have removed and replaced some of your loved ones' angels. They will act fast and ever be vigil when it comes to this task. I have made this change through my boy because in this year all of you will be busy handling your tasks. I will put all of you through more tests. No, they will not be debilitating. They will be exercises and tactics on how to defend, protect, and secure the bride. All of you will stand on battlefields with your new leads, and they will counsel you on how to evaluate and attack those who oppose me. You will learn quickly how to size up a battlefield and efficiently command and destroy. This is all needed for the future. Be not dismayed, because I have shared in the watchword that I am with you. Son, please read it now. Joshua 1:9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Never forget this. I am not slack in helping you serve me and mankind. Mankind. As the saying goes, they are quickly heading to hell in a handbasket. Yes, they are. They serve themselves and their own desires. They negate and ignore me and my will. Because of that, I will show them the errors of their ways. Firstly, by taking away from them all they hold dear. I will do this first by sending natural disasters, the likes of which they have never seen. Then wars will break out. Many will lose their lives, families, and again, all they hold dear. Near the end of that period of time will come my son's announcement. When they hear that I have a second son on earth in flesh, they will flock to him and listen to all he says. My dear team, you are an extension of my son. He is my hand of grace. Therefore, you too are my hand of grace as well. Be mindful of that. Please stop judging them, criticizing them, and even mocking them. This is not Christ-like or even guardian-like. I have created all of you to serve them. You are not greater than them. Humble your hearts and serve. Never look down at them. I do not wish to put you through something to crush your egos and force you to be humble. We are beyond that, my dear ones. Always remember that what you do is a reflection of us. Who is us? Me, my sons, HS, and all of you. In time, us will also include the apostles after the shaking. The current apostolate is broken, self-serving too, and very destructive. It hurts me to say these things about the men who were picked by Jesus to serve my children. They are blind to the needs of the congregations. They serve each other's egos and pride. They serve out of themselves, not allowing HS to bring my so needed word to many hungry hearts. I am not sharing this with all of you so you can judge them and have an excuse to not come to the services. I expect all of you to attend all of the services, period. No more excuses. In time, you will all be revealed to my children. And what will they say about the guardians? Will they say they did not come to the services? They judged us. They ridiculed us. They turned us away in our time of need. They did not love us. This cannot happen. Again, I will remind you that I created all of you, yes, you spouses too, to handle impossible. Why do I use that word? Because at times it is even almost impossible for me to love them, but I do. I have given all of you a piece of my heart when you accepted this position. You spouses have received this gift as well. No, I have never shared this with you until now. Do you see now how important it is for you to love them as I do? You were created for this one special task. Help my son Trilan complete my plan of salvation for all of mankind, living and in eternity. No, you will not receive any special bonuses. Yes, I interjected a bit of humor. Do not belittle your task. Do not act so human anymore. You are not like others. You bear the mark of the Lamb, and you bear the mark of a guardian. Is this all too much for you to bear? It is not, because we are with you always. Now, my dear ones, team and spouses, feel my special love as I give all of you blessings that will now fill your heart and bring you peace for this coming year. A little reminder to you and the spouses, my throne room is always open. Come and see me. Spend time with me. I will certainly make it worth your while and effort. After you have your club card punched 10 times, you can choose an item of your liking from the gift store. Ha ha ha. Remember, your father loves you and supports you. Now let us get to work. Does anyone have any questions, comments, or something they would like to share?
So my question is that with the new order and with the archangels being in charge of our spiritual teams, is there any change in the way that we are supposed to manage our congregations and prepare them for service?
No, you are still responsible for that.
And do we ask our archangels to bind and sweep and, you know,
yes,
ground, and we create the golden cage and stuff like that? But
You, all the guardians are responsible for protecting the congregation as far as securing the altar, monitoring the perimeter, seeing if there's actually one there, making sure that things are in place. Your lead should report to you prior to the service and say, we're starting the bind and sweep, and they should also report back to you when it's completed. I need that to happen. I want everybody to be vigilant, and I want everyone to be aware of the fact that these things are actually happening. We're not going in cruise control mode anymore and assuming that these things are happening. I will tell you that the function has changed as far as us not being able to trust the archangels or any angel. I know in my email that I sent out, some of you responded back that, yes, you were having a difficult time trusting anybody that was on your team because they continued to disappoint us and defect and break our hearts. Well, in my email, I explained that the archangels are incorruptible. They are. So you can put your trust in the archangel, and you just need to take the time to spend time with them and get to know them. They are very excited to work with you. Michael and I had a separate conversation prior to me sending my email, and he said they are very excited to work with you. Like I said in the email, they have been trained by Michael to be a general. They will have the ability to teach you and command and help you through any situation that happens. Does that answer your question?
Perfect. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Thailand, I have a question concerning the current leadership and the apostles. Are there some, and hopefully most, who are open to what will take place in the future?
Half the church won't be.
I'm talking about the apostolate. I mean, the apostles.
I'm talking about the apostles, too. I'm telling you, point blank, that half of them are going to leave and start their own church outside of the New Apostolic Church. Yeah. It breaks my heart, and I'm actually getting emotional over here saying it. But, yeah, the chief apostle is going to stay because he's the head of the New Apostolic Church, and he has to.
Yeah.
But as far as who Dishk apostles stay and what apostles stay, I don't know. But I know that Father said a number of them are going to break off and start their own churches and think that they still stand in his power and authority when, in fact, they don't. I'm sorry if I sound short to everybody. I'm really not feeling well. I don't mean to be rude, okay? Please,
no, you're
with
fine.
A little grain of salt, okay? I'm not trying to yell at anybody either, okay?
So one question, the team that we had in place, they're still there, or are they being rotated by our new guardian?
They should have been rotated. Most of them were probably removed completely, and you need to supervise. You need to be spending time with your archangel. You need to get to know them. They're going to rotate through. Every morning I look at my team, and I have a new face. And I look at Michael, and he says, I'm still assessing, which was a point I was going to make in the notes I have here, that your archangel is responsible for rotating through who he will find to be the best fit for you as a guardian as far as your personality goes, your traits, your energy. And when he's done rotating through everyone that he feels comfortable with, then he will let you know what their names are. And that's the point Father made, that once that rotation is finished, then that team will be with you until Jesus comes.
Okay.
But I don't want everybody to just kind of be in cruise control, trusting your guardian, your lead angel, that he's doing his job. Okay, I trust them. I'll say that. But I don't want us to get lazy. I look at my team every morning. They're in the truck with me. It should be easier for all of us because there's only four of them, right? Including your lead. So please eyeball, look at them. You don't have to introduce, they won't introduce themselves to you, but you can trust your archangel, and he's going to cycle people through, angels through.
Okay. Just asked because I had just replaced my team, and I wanted to make sure, right? It feels different. It feels different every day.
And yes.
Yeah. Okay. And the only name that's coming is the lead. That's why I wanted to make sure.
Yep. And he's the only one you should be dealing with. You can stand there and look. You can see the other three that are there, but you don't have to deal with them at this point. Your lead is going to do that for you. Does that make sense to everybody?
Jarlin, do you have 5 minutes after the call?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I need to talk to you.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks.
Yep. Anybody else? Okay. Father made the point that we're going to be working in both places, earth and eternity. So what does that mean? We already are working in earth to protect the bride. There will be times where you may be taken into eternity like Starlight and myself have. I know some of you on the team have had a couple insights where you've been taken into a realm and you've been given an eyeful at times. That's going to happen more. And Father's going to open your understanding so that you can have a little more empathy and compassion. In a few moments, I'm going to ask Starlight to share with everybody the conversation she had with Jesus, which sheds a completely new light on eternity and explains why it takes so long for them to overcome. But right now, I wanted to explain. I think it's been thought that the exclusivity was going to fall on me and Starlight, that we were the only two that are going to be playing in between both worlds. All bets are off, and now Father's making it so that everybody is. That's why he also made the comment that everybody's going to be standing on battlefields. And when I was sharing a little bit of this letter with Starlight, she kind of looked at me and said, what's the definition of a battlefield? Does that just mean spiritually? Does that also mean physically when we're having a conversation with somebody? And I said, look at you stealing my thunder. Yeah, that's exactly right. There's going to be times where you and I are having conversations with somebody here on Earth, and it's going to feel like a battle. We are not going to pull our swords out and cut their heads off. No, that's not what we're going to do. We're going to love them like Jesus, but we will be battling with people in flesh because they're going to oppose us. And when they oppose us, as Father said, us is him, Jesus, HS, and all of us. When they're opposing you and me, they're opposing Father. And there's a lot of people that are not going to understand who we are and what we're doing. And that's why Father said we need to step up our game and stop judging them. And that's not so easy to do. I know. Even today, I kind of lost my bacon in a moment. But we need to work on ourselves to be better than this world is. And we have to somehow put our hands on this basket that's going straight to hell and pull them out of it. That's what Father's asking of all of us. Does anybody have any questions about the battlefield subject or Earth or eternity?
It's not like a question, but we're all involved in spiritual warfare. And so it doesn't have to be a situation where we are in a war with, you know, where the battlefield is there and we're dealing with demons and, you know, that is actual physical, you know. This spiritual warfare goes in the many planes that we are involved in. It's eternity and here on Earth, past and the present. Because, you know, you think about curses from the past, and then situations that occur in the present, and opportunities that occur in the future. You know, so right. We are involved in spiritual warfare. And if I'm wrong, Trilan, just say you're wrong, you know, but that's what is going on. We are in this spiritual warfare that is so necessary to relieve the bride of Christ, because a lot of times, you know, brothers and sisters have come to ministers, you know, those who are ministers can vouch for this, and they'll say, this is going on with me in my life. And a lot of them just say, well, we'll pray for you, you know. And they don't need prayers. They need help. They need intercession. The actual intercession, not by prayer, but by physically or spiritually going in, you know, into the ditch where the Samaritan was and pulling him out of that ditch. That's what the Bride of Christ needs, or any Christian in the universal church, you know, not just new apostolics.
That's correct. I could tell you that I know of a number of guardians who in their congregations have upset the administration brothers because the members are coming to them instead of going to the rector and the priests. And they're confiding in the guardians, and some of them are female, and they're getting angry and jealous that these members are confiding, because then what happens is after they're getting counseling from the guardians, their lives are changing. Their faith is growing, and now it just confounds these guys more as to who these people think they are. And they have no idea who you guys are. They don't have any idea that you're guardians or in any way. They just know that some of you are giving counsel, and that it's upsetting them, and I honestly don't care. Like Father said, we're beyond having our egos get stroked here. We're here to protect the bride. We're here to counsel them. So I'm very proud when I hear those conversations are taking place, because that means we're doing our job.
Thanks for the explanation, because when we talked with you last and you mentioned that we'd be on a battlefield, we were thinking that, you know, we're going to be out in the street and there's going to be things happening, and we're and who knows whether or not. But the point
is,
it could be, but this is a clearer picture of what it really is now. And it's so interesting that I was kind of in my first battle at the meeting with the apostle. And it was strange. And it was, I just stated some facts and I felt opposition. I didn't do anything about it. I just
can you share? Can you share details with us? Go ahead.
Yeah, and so we were with the apostle in Wyoming, and he held a meeting, and it was about an hour, and he shared things from the chief apostle, and then he opened it up for questions. And the questions that were being asked were so simple that if the brothers should know the answers. And I thought to myself, we have it available to us everywhere. And so the apostle had to answer some of those. One question that came up was a sin against the Holy Spirit. And I thought to myself, we receive such a clear picture of what that is, and it's a beautiful understanding now, and I'll share it again. I'm sure that everybody remembers, but the sin against the Holy Spirit can't be forgiven because the person doesn't believe in Jesus. So
right.
If they don't believe in the person who can forgive, it will never be forgiven. It's that simple. And the apostle explained it in a totally different way. And he said, it's working against the church. And now that could very well be if the person doesn't ever turn. But that's what Saul did. He worked against the church. And he was forgiven. So that really isn't valid. And so I simply brought that up, that we received a divine service guide from the chief apostle that stated this. And he didn't acknowledge that. He just emphasized what he said. And I thought, oh, this is simple. I mean, I was not visibly frustrated. I kept it in. But I thought to myself, you got to be kidding me. Because he's our apostle, and it was amazing. These brothers were coming to get their spiritual food from the apostle only when the Holy Spirit dwells in us. And I was amazed at some of the things that were coming up. And then another thing that he stated, he said, he talked about God and Jesus. And he said, well, they're the same person, so it's fine. I mean, I just mean there's only one. And I thought, are you kidding me? And he's standing in front of all of these ministers making that statement, and I didn't say anything. And
you can't.
I can't, but now that I understand that I'm a guardian, I know that I'm a guardian, but now that I understand that that's part of the battlefield, then I'll do something about it where they don't see. Because that makes it clear to me now. And so thank you for that.
You're welcome. Thank you for sharing.
I think, Dan, it's funny how, because I'm a history buff, things go in circles. And so you mentioned about Paul. So when Paul was going against the church, he believed that he truly was doing God's work. It was in his core, and he was zealous in persecuting Christians. The difference is that when Jesus presented himself to Paul, or to Saul knelt down and said, Lord, what do I do, right? And so Saul was able to accept the Christ. And he was able to receive what Christ gave him, the information for him to be the apostle and to change to Paul, right?
Mm-hmm.
Even when he was the apostle, the apostles in Jerusalem were working against him. And this is what I really want the team to understand, is the ministry has been given by Christ, right? The chief apostle gave the apostle that you're mentioning the ministry. And he has to evolve. He has to change. If he doesn't, he will be removed. But
what we have to understand is that he still has the apostles' ministry. And
absolutely, yeah.
You know, and what we still have to understand is he still is the bearer of blessing. Just like when David was being persecuted by Saul, right? King Saul. And David said that he would not even blemish the garment of his bearer of blessing. And so that's what we really have to get to that point where these apostles that are not with us, we have to give them the respect because they are bearers of blessing. And what we must do is we must pray 10,000 times more for them. And for the ones that stay with us and understand what's going on, are with the chief apostle and supporting the chief apostle, supporting God, the Father, the Son, and Triland, those are the ones that we have to work with. And that's the truth. It's happened before. It happened in the 50s. You know, apostles are going to go away. And those who go away will pray for them as long as they don't go against, they don't sin against the Holy Spirit, you know. And we draw a line in the sand and go, hey, those who are with us, okay. We have to put our mindset to completing God's work. And that's it.
Correct. And just to verify, I don't believe Q is bashing the apostle in any way. He was
just making a statement.
I just want to clarify, clear the air. And we understand that he is the anointed of the Lord. But I will say this, we're not in any position to correct any minister. They can say what they want and they can believe what they want. But if it is presents itself in an opportunity of a one-on-one, then you and I can question and say things to them. You know, here's
Absolutely.
What we understand. You know, and that's perfectly healthy, but you are correct. We are not going to touch the anointed. That is not our place. We're here to protect the bride of Christ. They are still part of that. And even after they decide to either leave, we're still going to pray for them because from what Father says, many of them are going to come back.
Yeah.
And they'll be receptive to what Father wants because it's all about His will. This isn't about what I want or what you want. It's about what Father wants, and they'll see that down the road. So. Yes,
no, absolutely.
Thank you.
It's like
okay.
Everybody has a place in the kingdom of God, right?
That's right.
And so some of us have been placed in a position, or let's say there are certain people have been placed in a position, well, maybe they're not good as an apostle, but they're a hell of a deacon. You know what I mean?
Right.
And so because of ego and pride, they're like assuming this position, you know, but maybe they'll find a greater place in the kingdom of heaven, you know? And Quasar, trust me, brother, I wasn't bashing you at all.
Oh, no.
That was
you're fine.
Yeah.
Good point.
I'm just making sure we're all good.
Yeah, no, absolutely. No,
okay.
That's
why I get
like,
paid the big bucks.
Correct. No, I was just trying to reinforce what Quasar was saying, yeah.
Appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah.
Starlight had a conversation with Jesus, and I asked if she would please share that with everyone. So, Starlight, you're up.
Okay. Hold on one second. I'm trying to pull up my notes here. I had them pulled up, but then they just disappeared. So I was meditating the other day, and Jesus, he gave me another key. So I have a set of keys to heaven and hell already, but then Jesus gave me another key to eternity. And when he did this, he said that it's to unlock new understanding. And he said that we've only touched the surface. And then he expounded a little bit more about when a soul dies, they go into their own realm. And then they go into their own individual realm because each soul is unique in their shortcomings, and then they move forward through the different sub-realms. So, and the reason I say sub-realms is because a few of us have seen different, the inside of different realms. At most, he saw it looked like a honeycomb. And then when I had gone into one of the realms towards the end of last year, I had said that I was like standing almost on this edge of a cliff, and I could see like a whole bunch of caves, and you could with like lights and things. Well, those are the different sub-realms, and they're inside of a large realm that's, like, for instance, classified as, you know, like a like the Depression, or it could be the Calamity. It could be all of that, but inside of each realm has different sub-realms, and Jesus had said that Father allows them to move forward to the next realm, and he chooses at what pace that they move through. And so at the service for the departed, the baptisms and sealings occur at the service, but the moving of the realms and the conditions are in Father's time. And then Jesus said, unveiled more of eternity, but I couldn't see it. He said, in time, we'll be able to see it, but it's too much to process, and that more will be revealed to the team as well.
Thank you. So as Starlight was sharing this information with me, Father quietly said, I have created every human being so uniquely different that there is not one realm that I can put a soul in. He said, so each soul, when they get into eternity, is placed inside their own realm. And when they face and accept that they have issues that they need to overcome, he allows them to do that one at a time. Because if he were to put them in the same realm with everybody, it would be too overwhelming for that human being. He said, but as that human accepts, asks for forgiveness, and works on one or two issues, he said, then they progress from a different realm to another realm. He goes, and then they all of a sudden become part of a communal realm, a bigger realm, until they finally are part of a normal or understanding that we have as far as some of the realms have been defined. He said, but he is the one who decides how quickly they can move through, and he moves them at any time that he wants. It doesn't just happen at the service for the departed, which was the point that Starlight was making. Does anybody have any questions?
I have a question.
Yes.
So recently, I received a message about Christian missionaries. I think from what the information that I was given, there's like 229 Christian missionaries that are in Afghanistan that apparently ISIS has captured, right?
Okay.
And I guess tomorrow is the day that they're going to execute these people.
No.
So I've been investigating to see if this is a hoax. And it's not really clear. So my father was actually talking to me about this. And I said, well, Dad, those who die in Christ will have a special place, you know. There's actually a thing that was probably put out 10 years ago, and they talked about the Bride of Christ, and then there's a section for the martyrs in Christ. And yes, actually, I asked an apostle about it, and he completely shut me down about it, and because he honestly didn't know. So I said to my father, I said, well, those who die in Christ, you know, for Christ's sake, my understanding is that they will be part of the bride of Christ. And he's like, Jerry, but you have to understand something. These people who do die or get murdered have this obstacle in front of them, that feeling of getting murdered for Christ's sake. And I stepped back when he said that, because you know, just because you believe in Jesus, someone's going to come up and put a gun to your head or cut your head off.
Right.
You know, and I had to think, well, I've got to bring this up. And
it's true, you know, that if anybody gets martyred in Christ's name, that they have a special place, and it's automatically assumed, has been assumed, that because they've been martyred, they become the bride of Christ immediately. The problem or the clause that's there that hasn't been defined is that they still need to forgive those who killed them. Mm-hmm. And when they do, then they become the bride of Christ. Their path is shortened by Father. They don't have to go through as many realms, I will say, as everybody else does, because they were martyred. But they still have to forgive like everybody else, or they do not get the prize. So we can pray for all of them. I hope that this is a hoax. It's making my heart hurt.
Yeah.
Thank you. I was not aware of that.
Yep.
Okay. With the archangels getting POG, and them being now duly trained on many facets of warfare. Let me back up a little bit. A couple of weeks ago, I was going to work, and the company I work for is a little aggressive at times, and I'm still trying to get used to the people there. It's a very strong-willed company, and there's still some underlying deceit that I have not been able to figure out yet. So as I was driving to work, I was talking with Father, and the roses that I put up every day seemed to not withstand the test of the day. So in a fit of frustration, I was talking with Father as I was walking through my dailies, and when it got to the point where I was going to put my roses up, instead of them just coming out of my space and me creating them, they actually came out of my chest, and they were created out of POG energy. And I always use the bandolier crisscross formation to go around my space. And when they popped out of my chest, they were glowing light blue. And there was POG around them as well. And I kind of looked at Father, and he just matter-of-factly said, they will last longer. Okay. So I want to walk everybody through how to create POG roses. This past Thursday, I said to Father, well, if you have given a little piece of your heart to the spouses on this team, then I would like to give all the spouses POG. And Fred and Kathy, you're also included in this. So you have POG as well. Now, here's the clause I'm going to add. You do not have the ability to destroy any evil. You have the ability to POG for your protection. You have the ability to give a handshake or a hug to somebody and transfer Father's love, which is, again, the definition of POG. The power of God is love. So you now have the ability to enlighten somebody or even heal somebody who's got a broken heart or needs a little uplifting. You as a spouse now have that ability too. So I'd like to take a few minutes right now to walk through the process of how to create POG roses. So if everybody would just kind of sit quiet, get in the center of your mind, take a deep breath. Focus on your heart. Take a deep breath, and as you exhale, you're going to allow energy to now come out of your heart, and you're going to create a rose in front of yourself out of the energy from your heart. Take a deep breath as you do this. It should be a light blue energy. They're crystal clear roses still, but they're like a light blue crystal now. And you don't even have to think about putting POG around the rows. They should automatically be created now. When you take a deep breath and create any rows out of your chest, it'll have POG around it. Take another deep breath and you can create as many as you want. Don't forget to ground them to the center of the earth. You still need to do that. And then spouse is the other step that we as guardians do, is we take another deep breath and we create another little bubble of POG around our entire space. So take a deep breath and create a little blue POG bubble around yourself. It's outside of your roses. So there's you in your space. You've got your roses in front of you that are created out of POG, and then you create another barrier of POG between the world, your roses, and you. And you can make your POG shield, we call it that, thicker. Usually it's about 1/4 inch thick. But if you're feeling overwhelmed in some place that you're going and you want to just kind of cut the world off a little bit more from you, then you just make your POG shield a little thicker. That controls the amount of energy that comes into your space. The roses will block the energy, but the POG actually filters it so not as much comes in. Or if you want to be, you know, completely left alone, make it 1 foot thick and, you know, there you go. Does anybody have any questions?
That's awesome.
Yes. So let Sandy know.
Like Liberace.
Yes. All sparkly.
Yeah.
When you say it was given to the spouses, is it like a temporary thing we can give to Emma? Or is that just temporary? It is?
Yes.
Okay.
It is. You can tell her about it.
Okay, cool.
She's part of the team. You need to start sharing with her if you think she can handle it.
Yeah, yeah. I was, because we went through the first lesson today with Abby and Gemma, and she seemed pretty, what's it called? She was really into the lessons, of course, but since we did the faster version when we were on the phone, the refresher, which is on the website now,
yes.
She's like, oh, this is so much slower compared to what we did. I'm like, yeah, so just bear with it. She's like, okay.
Good. Anybody else have a comment or a question?
Yeah, I've got a comment. I was giving Lauren a healing yesterday, and when we got to her crown chakra, actually when we got to her third eye, Father was already starting to talk to me before I could even get to it. But we got to the crown chakra, and it came up that at some point in the future, Lauren would receive the opportunity to heal, and I had no idea what that meant.
And there you go.
So this is so cool.
It's like that guy's got a plan or something.
Almost.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. I wanted to tell everybody, because one of the guardians asked, well, now that everybody's been assigned an archangel, does that mean we can't spend time with each other's archangels? No, you can still spend time with everybody's archangels. I know for a fact there's times where Starlight looks at me and goes, hey, I borrowed Michael today, and I'll just kind of give him the stink eye. And he'll look at me and go, I can be in two places at once, sir. Yeah, I know. Just giving you a hard time because I can. So if you want to call on anybody else's archangel, because I certainly am going to spend some time with the two new guys. Got to break them in, you know, see what they got, kick the tires, give them a spin. I would encourage everybody, spend some time with everybody's archangel. We need to get to know all of them. I think it's incredibly unique that Father decided to create two more. Because I looked at him and went, what other virtues could you create? You know, because I like to question him because, you know, he's only can do so many things, right? Yeah. No, he never ceases to amaze us. But I think it's wonderful that everybody now has a lead archangel that we can rely on and trust. And I will again reiterate this. Please spend time with them. Make the time. I want to open up the floor now. If anybody would like to share their experience with their new archangel, please, or if you just have some comments over the last couple weeks, how things have been for you. Have you felt a change in the energy? Have things become a little more positive for everybody? Go ahead.
This is Atmos. I guess we've noticed a definite change. I've noticed that it's been
nice having an administrative assistant, so to speak. I know Lightstar and I had the chance to talk, and we were both just like, just kind of felt such a sense of, I want to say relief, but maybe more joy in having an extra helping hand, someone we know we can count on to kind of be by our side and place that trust in and understand that when we ask for things to get done, they'll be done. Obviously, like you said before, we don't want to get lazy and just throw everything on them, but it's nice to know that's there. And I will say too that I had Gabriel pop in my space, and I'm looking around. I'm like, hey, how's it going? I was looking for a new. I had changed or lost my old counseling angel, and was getting him working on getting him replaced. And Gabriel popped into the center of my mind, and but it's hey, how's it going? And for whatever reason, I'm having a hard time. The only archangel I can truly understand is Raphael. I can actually hear what he says and understand it. The other ones just kind of talk like, want, 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 you know, the peanuts. So I'm still working on that. But usually it just comes down to I have to hug them and I just, you know, accept that I get whatever they give. So I don't know what Gabriel was doing there, and I don't know what piece he had to play in it, but that was when Thomas, my new counseling angel, showed up briefly after Gabriel left. So don't know what that was all about, but it's been an interesting nice. Week and a half to 2 weeks. So.
Atmos, take Raphael with you fishing.
There you go.
I'll have to do that.
That's a little joke from Tobit.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you go fishing and hunting.
Anybody
for me,
else?
That was, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, so I've been working with Lazarus, and he is an archangel of joy. And it was so perfect because he just makes me happy, just his name, just when he's around. So anyways, there are two people in our congregation, in my congregation, who have I've been working with to help them on their spiritual path. And every time I have a conversation with him, Lazarus is there now. And in the last couple conversations I had, you know, we focus on bringing joy because there isn't joy where there's strife, right? And it's fantastic for me because we always talk about, you know, spiritual personal accountability. We talk about peace. We talk about love. We talk about all these things. And so I'm having this conversation. It was a bit distracting because Lazarus shows up and he's all excited and he's got these hearts in his hand. And I'm like, okay, wait, I need to pay attention to what this woman is saying. Hang on. And he's like all giddy and jumpy, and he's got his hands full of like these, they look like little tiny cutout hearts. I'm kind of like trying to have two conversations at once. I'm like, you're not the archangel of love. I'm not really sure what you're showing up with, a bunch of these little heart things. But anyways, he gave them to me, and I then clairvoyantly gave it to the person I was speaking with, their spirit, and handed them a handful of them. And their spirit looked, I don't really see other people's spirit very often. Okay, in fact, this may be the first or second time ever. And their spirit looks really scrawny and really, really like, I don't know how to explain it, but not healthy.
Malnourished?
Yes, yes, yes. Very malnourished and gray and starving. And as their spirit accepted these hearts, I could feel its joy. And at the end of the conversation, I mean, I talked to this woman for an hour and a half, and this happened early on in the conversation. The last thing she said before we prayed was, this conversation brought such joy to my heart. Thank you. I about died. Who says that? You know, like people say thank you, or my heart is happy, or thanks for the you know, like I'm healing, or thanks for the advice.
Oh, brilliant. You're making stuff up again.
I know.
Stop.
I know. So then I had to say, Lazarus, like, what was the heart shape? And he's like, well, what shape should joy be? And I was like, yeah, okay, you know what? You're right.
There you go.
Perfect.
Awesome.
Lazarus is renewing, right?
Mm-hmm.
The two other people are going to talk. Who are they?
Well, who wants to go after that?
You do, like,
we are not in competition here.
No, that Carry was on. Joyful. It was good. It was yummy, and it was great.
Climb in, Lightstar.
No, I was just going to say that after everything that we had gone through, being able to have the archangels, for me, was just to have what the way I explained it the other night was just to have a fresh breath. And for me to be able to work with Jophiel has been very nice and refreshing and not a confidence booster, but a little more
security,
backbone, I guess you could say. Yeah.
Sure.
And today in service was nice, and just things went more smoothly. I was able to focus more on service myself, on the actual service, than everything else going on around in the service.
Wonderful.
I have to agree with you. I know exactly what you're talking about, because I know it's difficult to explain, but with this archangel that is always here, like I don't know, not that my other team isn't there, but I couldn't see them all the time. This one I feel all the time, but even showing up in service and knowing that he's the archangel of joy, I literally can't stop thinking about every interaction that I have with somebody, especially spiritual interactions, that the gift of joy needs to be given. And ironically, we were talking about the three talents in our congregation this morning in service. You know, two of them doubled it, one buried it in the ground. We've now been given these individual archangels who specialize in very, very important matters, you know, fruits of the Spirit. I mean, this is God's grace and greatness. If we're not passing out, you know, the joy, peace, patience, wisdom, all of this stuff and messages from God, if we're not doing that, we're bearing these talents. And we know what happened to that servant. So I'm with you. It's made me, I didn't think I could focus on it anymore, but it's given me a renewed focus.
Mm-hmm.
I'm
you know, a thought you. Comes to me that it's amazing. If this had happened originally, if we were given an archangel way back when, our appreciation might not be there.
No.
But look at the appreciation that we have now, that we absolutely realize, and we feel a difference. Father's got to be a plan. He's amazing. Totally amazing.
I did have a quick question.
Yes.
Do the archangels have anything to do with the guardians and spouses, or just their specific personality?
Just the guardians.
Okay.
Anybody else?
I'll go ahead and share. So I was already working on trying to be more loving towards man as a whole, because, I mean, we all get frustrated with people when they're inconsiderate in public. For me, it's grocery stores. Like, with when someone cuts in front of me with a grocery cart and I'm on a very clear, straight path, it just it really grinds my gears. So I've been really working on being more loving and compassionate. And then I heard that my archangel was Shamuel, and it was like, oh, it was so perfect. But today,
I gave him a hard time for it.
Yeah, Lauren jokingly said, you don't need more love and compassion. But today, it was like he was cramming the love down my throat in the nicest way possible. I could not stop crying during the service today.
Nice.
Eddie Heidema was playing piano before the choir started, and he started playing In the Garden, which was my grandmother's favorite hymn. And then during the service, the Apostle Orlovsky served today, and the topic of childlike faith came up. And then immediately after that, a young boy, a member of the congregation, sang the hymn of repentance, and I could not stop bawling. And I was like, really? Really, Shamuel? You're just going to keep these things going? Okay, here we go.
He was still crying when he got home from church, too.
Yeah.
Maybe he's ovulating.
Maybe.
Here's a funny story. I was driving in Billings, and I got cut off. I was, like, pissed because someone cut me off. And then I started looking at the car. I'm like, oh, my goodness. I married into the Heidemus, and it turns out that it was one of my wife's cousins.
So, yeah, that happened to me pulling into church. Somebody cut me off, and I'm like, what's going on? I'm getting ready to pull into church, and I look at the back of the car, and they pull into the church, and I'm like, oh, crap. You know, you see that NAC bumper sticker on, and I'm like, oh, for crying out loud.
Yeah, I'm like... Like today, like driving down the road, and I'm surrounded by a bunch of Heidemus, and I'm like, okay, so we're going to church, so I need to. I recognize the cars, so I'm like, oh, I'm good, you know. Even though Montana's been voted the worst drivers in the United States lately, so they may be my relatives, but oh well,
mm-hmm.
Be careful and mindful.
Gotta love everybody. Anybody else have anything else? Okay. I apologize for the confusion. I was trying to update my calendar for myself, and apparently it inadvertently emailed everybody again, and that's not what my plan was. So the meeting will always be at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time like it was today. I appreciate everybody changing the time. I think it works a little bit better because we've gone a little bit over now. Now it's not super late over here on the eastern part of us over here. And the next meeting will be Sunday, February 11th. I did not ask anybody to pray with me because I just wanted the moment to share all of your hearts with Father. And there wouldn't be anything left for anyone to pray for when I get done, just so you know. So I didn't want to embarrass anybody or put anybody on the spot. But initially I'd asked Starlight, but she got sick. So I think this is better. It's like Father arranged it. So when you're ready, I will now pray with all of you. Thank you, everyone, for calling in, spouses as well. I can't begin to tell you how excited I was when I was able to ask Father to give all of you POG, and he said yes. He said it's important. He wants the spouses to know that they're just as important a part of this team as the guardians are. And down the road, he's going to define more what that is. And I know, Fred and Kathy, you don't always feel like you're part of the team because you're not guardians and you're not perhaps in that same bracket. But you are very much part of this team, and that's why Father told me I could give you two POG as well, and I know you'll use it wisely. So thank you, everybody. I will pray now. Father of love, we come before you with our hearts in our hands, our heads bowed, and on a knee. We all bow in humbleness before you because of the magnitude of the love that we were able to experience in this evening's call. There was such a joy that came across the hearts of the guardians as they were assigned new archangels. Father, I know that you have had this planned for millennia, but it's always your timing is perfect for us, and even as Q stated, if this would have happened off the bat, then we would not have had the appreciation or even the humbleness now to appreciate these wonderful creatures that you have created for us that stand by our side, that are selfless, self-serving. They are not at all. They are willing to sacrifice themselves to keep us safe. And I'll even make this statement, that even though evil was loosed today, I did not feel a rumble like I have in the past because I know that my team has securely kept me safe and my family and my friends and guardian friends are all safe as well. I don't even know if everybody remembered that happened today. I didn't want to bring it up and queer the day. But we appreciate, Father, that your hand of grace is always over us, that your love is never ending, and that, Father, you're always willing to watch us closely, and even when we make our mistakes, you don't point a finger at us and judge us. You pull us closer to your chest, and you just tell us like you did tonight, forgive what's in the past and let it go. And we do. We know that there has been times where we have maybe said something to each other or offended each other, or in our marriages or our relationships, we have hurt our loved ones, the people that we hold dearest to our hearts. Sometimes we're so mean to them, We don't mean to be, but it's in a fit of rage, Father, things come out of our mouths. And it's in this moment, Father, that we ask for a little extra forgiveness for all of us if we've said something to hurt one another, that you will shower us with your love. See the hearts that have gathered here, Father. See the illnesses that are kind of wreaking their way through our team and their spouses. Some are sick, Father. Some are struggling physically with different ailments that have taken place. Some are on the verge of fighting an ailment, hoping they don't get it. You can send Raphael to touch all of us, that we are all healed and that we don't get sick. Because, Father, we can't afford to miss work. We can't afford to let our guard down. And we certainly do not want to disappoint you by not following through with what our responsibilities are. We pray for our leadership, Father, in the church, for our chief apostle and everyone that's connected to him. Even on the local level, Father, the deacons and the priests, that you would spark their hearts, that you would allow HS to infiltrate their hearts and souls and their minds, that when the service comes, they don't have any reason to say I or me, but that they say we and you, and it's all about you. Provide peace for our hearts, Father. Help us all to sleep well through the night. Provide a special blessing over everybody as we go into the week. We do not take for granted, Father, all the love that you continually show on us and the guidance that you give us. And even in this week, Father, situations are going to arise, and we will have the answers because we listened to the services today. We opened our hearts. We received the body and blood of our brother to give us the strength to carry on, and we still do not take that for granted either. Everything, Father, we lay in your hands, and if there's something that we have missed, I know you'll cover it. And know, Father, how much we love you and appreciate you. It is always according to your will we ask, and know how much, Father, we need you in our lives. Thank you again. Amen.
Amen.
Love you guys.
Amen. Amen.
Love you too.
Amen.
Love you.
Thank you.
Love you guys.
See you next month.
See you in a month.
Thank you, Danielle, for asking.
Bye.
About my job.